You, Lord, that you have given us the best of the best. Father, that they are anointed, they are appointed, they are chosen in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against them can prosper. And today, Father, you will touch their hearts in a special way to cause them to know who they are in Jesus, Father, and to fulfill your purpose in their lives in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, wow, it just feels good to be in church this morning. Amen. How many of you came to have church today? I came to have church. I came to be the church. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not just about this building. The presence of the Lord is rich and it's real wherever we are. Aren't you thankful for that? Or we'd been 2 weeks out with no presence. I hope you haven't been 2 weeks with no presence. No presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I went into my office Sunday and we couldn't have church. And I was like, okay. So I made myself sit down and I did some writing, some things I wanted to put on paper, computerized version. Put it in my computer and I was doing some writing and I was almost finished up and my screen on my computer went black. And I was like, no, because my computer's having a little bit of trouble with like thermal overheating. So I was rebuking the devil big time. I was like, oh, no, you don't. And I was just sure I had lost everything. And you know what I mean? I'd just written for hours. And I was like, I've just lost everything I had. But thank you, Jesus. When it came back up, it was there. Amen. So I'm thankful that we don't just have to be here to feel his presence. But there is something about corporate anointing. There is something about the body of Christ, about something about believers coming together where every joint supplies, where it just pulls something out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm moved when you're moved. I'm touched when you're touched. I'm blessed when you're blessed. Hallelujah. We should be each other's biggest fans. Amen. There ought to be safety and protection in the family of God. And, you know, sometimes we get divided on silly stuff that really just don't mean anything. But the blood of Jesus is the reason that we're here, the power of the cross. How many are thankful today for the power of the cross? So I'm thankful that his presence are everywhere, that it never leaves us, it never forsakes us. You know, we have such resource in these days of we can, in a minute's time, the other Sunday when we had to miss, in a minute's time, I could catch 4 different church services of people that I know across the country that were having church. And I hit this, I think, oh, they're having church. And I'd listen to their worship service and think, oh, they're having church because I catch some of their preaching. And I think they're having church because they're Southerners. That's why they're having church. They live where it's warm. That's why they're having church. So it's powerful, the power of media. You can go on a podcast, wodchurch.com. You can find the podcast of any sermon that we do. It's on there, and it's up usually before you leave here this morning or just about that time. It will be up and ready to be listened to from anywhere. You can go on Lynn's site, catch anything that he's doing. You can see him on Facebook. You can catch him on TV. You can go to his webpage. Hallelujah. I won't ask any of you, but in case you didn't know, the show that we did together, the 4-part series, Lynn's show, That You Might Have Life, is up. 2 of the series have already been out. There's still 2 more yet to come. They'll be on Monday evening. So if you've not had a chance to catch those, they're out there. We had a blast doing that, and we have enjoyed that. And it is a series that we did connected to the book that we just put out, Unblemished. And so I am thankful for what God is doing, what he is saying, and what he is speaking in this hour. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm thankful that his presence is not just here when we come together, but it's wherever we are. It's in the grocery store, believe it or not. It's at the checkout counter. Hallelujah. It's at the doctor's office. It's on your job. Hallelujah. There will always be prayer in school because that's where I work. I might not be able to pray out loud with the kids, but I'm praying on the inside. You know that old joke, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside? Yeah. Hallelujah. So it's everywhere. Germs in Jesus are everywhere. Can somebody say amen? Well, last time we were together, we talked about things that wise men do. Well, today is our celebration, kind of our men, our sportsman dinner. We're going to get together tonight and have some crazy fun and some good food and all of those kind of things. But the Lord began to speak to me back some time ago, even in the series. And we think when we preach the wise man or even the Christmas story, we think we only preach it in December and then we never touch it the rest of the year, right? It's like saved, it's sacred for December or something like that. But I mean, no, it's the greatest story ever told. God incarnate himself. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God with us, God to us, God in us. The incarnate God that now can dwell within each and every one of us. What a powerful story that is. And there are so many facets and so many portions of that story that I love to preach. It's probably one of my favorite series to do. It's such a powerful story. But one of the things that, you know, God began to speak to me is in looking at the picture of the wise men who came to see Jesus. And it says that they came from afar. Let's just read the scripture. Go ahead and bring up Matthew 2:1-12 for me. I want to talk about some things that wise men do. When we came together last time, we said, kings are born in obscure places, but wise men seek them out and invest in them. How many know it did not look like the place that a king would be born? And yet the kings of the earth sought them out to find them, to kneel before them, to worship them, and to invest in them. I mean, there's some things that wise men do. One of the prayers that we pray every day in our house, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to lead. Give us wisdom and guide our steps. And give wisdom to my children and to my grandchildren. Protect them and cover them. Because I believe it's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to have wisdom and to know how to activate knowledge that you have, right? You can know all things, but yet if you don't use wisdom, even in how to speak the truth, do you know there's wisdom in even how to speak the truth? That you can speak the truth in love and it'll come off a whole lot easier than if you speak it with attitude. My grandmother, Ethel, was a straight shooter. She didn't have much filter. You know how they say no filter? She didn't have much filter. If she thought something, she was going to say it, and you were going to know what she said. She just didn't have any real finesse on how to make it sound, you know, any less maybe bold or blunt. But because we loved her so much, we just took it. It was okay. You know, it was okay because we know that she loved us, and we know that she was speaking it in love. So we pray for wisdom, but it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. How many know wise men worship? Wise men look to the heavens. Wise men follow stars. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, somebody say treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. How many know there's some things that wise men do? Wise men read the heavens. They take their command from the heavens, not from earthly things. How many know there's sometimes you got to take your eyes off of what you see here and take your eyes on what you see up here? Because sometimes the situation right around you can look dismal, but yet what's the heavens saying? In a time where it was darkness, when shepherds were on the hillside, when there was chaos and when there was no peace, how many know the heavens started to speak to some shepherds on a hillside and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." How many know they began to declare peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Do you know that's still God's intent toward you? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. How many know peace comes from in here? If we want peace out here, how many know peace has got to come from here? Change is not going to come from the White House. It's going to come from your house. When wise men stand up and do what's right. Amen. And again, when I'm saying wise men, I'm not just talking about men. I'm talking about women. I'm talking about us all together as one person. Now, how many know there's wisdom? The scripture says that wisdom builds a house. And it's not just talking about natural house. But wisdom builds an infrastructure. Wisdom builds a habitation. Wisdom builds a safe place. And how many know, as men and women of God, we are required to build a house. The scripture says, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain who build it. Joshua stood up and declared, as for what? Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How many know a house is built not with sticks and stones and mortar and all of those kinds of things? And that is true. But how many know it's built with integrity and honesty and a kindness and goodness and love and giving and helping? Those are the things that a house are built out of. I don't care how beautiful the house you live in is. If it is empty and void of love and relationship inside, it's not a very pleasant place to be. Amen. You can have gold fixtures, you can have marble floors, you can have the best of everything, but if there's not love and peace in that house, I'll take a cabin in the woods anytime with an old wood stove that has love and peace and comfort, peace of mind. Amen. How powerful is peace of mind in this season? Aren't you thankful that the scripture says that the government will be upon his shoulders? Because when we see chaos everywhere, I know that God is still in charge. God is still King of Kings, and he's still Lord of Lords. But the scripture says that wise men came, and when they did, they presented unto him their treasures. I want to say it a different way today. Wise men present what they treasure. Now, I'm going to give you just a minute to think about what it is you treasure. What it is it that's valuable to you? What is it that you treasure in your life? Whether it be relationship, whether it be children, whether it be your, you know, your family, whether it be your job, your finance, whatever it is. How many know the greatest thing you can do with what you treasure is to present it to the King? I was thinking right before I got ready to get up and preach, we have a picture, and I may have it at my office. I'm not sure. A couple of us have the picture. It's probably my favorite picture of all time. It's a very motley crew, but it is a ragamuffin band. And it's a picture of a family in Annapolis, North Carolina, at Sister McLean's church, where they stood us all up. And my mom and dad dedicated our whole family to the Lord. And they prayed over us. And they ordained us, ordained my parents. They believed in us enough to anoint us, to pray over us, and to dedicate us to the Lord. We have a picture of it. Our hair isn't combed. We probably don't have shoes on. I don't even know. It's not anything that you think would be a masterpiece to hang on the wall. But it was a beginning of a story that the ending is yet to be told. The reason I tell you that is because my family is not any different than any other family sitting here in this house. But what my mom and dad knew early on is I got to give what I treasure to the king. Wise men present what they treasure. Wise men give to the king the thing that they value the most. You know, people start getting nervous because they think, oh, she's probably going to preach on money. But I want to tell you this morning, I hope money is not what you treasure the most. And that's important for the kingdom of heaven. How many know you can't pay the light bill without it? Go ahead and bring up the next scripture for me, Lisa. I'm not sure if I even gave you the scripture of this one, but how many know finances are important to the kingdom? When the wise men, and you've heard Lynn preach this before, when the wise men brought their gifts, they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought some of the most valuable things of that time. Now, we don't even know see any finances that Jesus lived off of, but possibly he lived off the finance of the gifts of those wise men to fund his ministry. It was the finances that got him into Egypt and got him a safe covering when Herod would want to destroy them. But how many know they said they brought their treasures and they presented unto him their treasures, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But the greatest thing that we can do, I believe, today as men and women of God is present to the king what we treasure. And you know, as we were saying this morning, we were hearing the different prayer requests and the needs in the house and in the body. And sometimes it can be great and can be overwhelming. But how many are thankful this morning that you can stand up and say, God, I present everything that I treasure today to you. I give you my spouse. I give you my relationship. I give you my children. I give you my home. I give you my finances. I give you my future. I give you my career. I give you everything that I am. Because I know that if I give it to you, that you can take and multiply and bless it and break it, and multitudes of people can be touched by how many know one little boy came to a church service one day when Jesus was preaching to the multitude. And he gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples even said, but what are they among so many? But when he gave what little he had, what seemed insignificant to everybody else, how many know Jesus will take what you submit to him? And when you do and give what little you have in you, God can bless it and break it and multiply it and give it to the nations of the earth because you are willing to give to the king what you treasure. Because we are willing to give to the king what you treasure. The scripture says where your treasure is, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes your greatest treasures can bring you the biggest heartache. But if you didn't care, it wouldn't matter. Does that make sense? Sometimes the things that you value the most are the things that tug on your heartstrings sometimes. And why is that? It's because you care so much about those things. But the scripture says, don't lay up for yourself treasures. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if wise men give what they treasure to the king, guess where your heart is? Your heart is toward the king. And I believe, you know, we do baby dedications or we'll pray over your children. We'll dedicate them to the Lord. We'll dedicate your marriage, whatever it is. But you can do that as well. When we just surrender and say, Father, I surrender to you everything that I am. Everything that I have, everything that I know, I surrender to you because your will, your purpose. You know, I love what Miss Arlene said this morning. There's some things you got to shut the door to. And I was talking to my daughter in the last little bit, and there's some job changes that's getting ready to happen where she's at, and some things could be shifting around. And I said, honey, I've never known God to shut a door that he doesn't open a better one. And when you don't know what that next door is, when God shuts one door, what do they say? Praise him in the hallway. Praise him in the in-between. There's sometimes when God shuts a door and you say, God, why have you shut this door? And why has this not been what I thought it would be? But God never shuts a door that he doesn't open something up better for you. Can you say amen in here? I have to stand up here and tell you sometimes, thank you, God, for unanswered prayer when I thought I knew what I wanted or thought I knew what I needed. But you knew what your purpose and your plan was for me, and you shut a door that I didn't understand, but you opened one that was way bigger, that was way more powerful, that had way more opportunity than anything that I ever saw for myself. I mean, sometimes I have wee little vision. I have tunnel vision. I only see what I see, only see what I want. And I told you before, God spoke to me about 2 years ago now, and he said, Lisa, your dreams aren't big enough. And I remember taking a cross-country trip late in the back of the pickup truck. The guys were talking. I was just driving. I was just meditating. He said, Lisa, your dreams aren't big enough. I said, well, Lord, that's okay. I thought I had pretty big dreams. And that scares me a little bit because I don't know what that means. You know, when God starts saying stuff like that, you don't always know what that means. But I'm telling you, God is opening my eyes to bigger things, and God is causing some dreams to come to pass that I didn't even allow myself to go there. But when God shuts one door, he will open another door for you that has greater opportunity, greater purpose, and greater vision in your life. Hallelujah. And when sometimes you think that door closes and you think it's over, sometimes it's just the beginning. It's not over. It's just the beginning of a new season of what God wants to do, something bigger and better in your life. Anybody ready for a new season in your life where God wants to do bigger and better than what you've ever let yourself even believe for in this season? Hallelujah. Morgan, when you shook your head right there, the Holy Spirit hit me. God's going to do some big things in your life, and he's opening some avenues and some opportunities for you. There's a cry in your heart. There's a worshiper inside of you that is dying to get out, and you're trying to figure out right now, what is my expression of what God wants to do? But I want to tell you, the hand of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord is on your life. It is on your feet and in your steps, and even in this next year, in this season of your life, you're going to see God do some things physically in your body. I declare healing over your body right now in Jesus' name. And I am declaring doors to be opened, finances to come, and opportunities that you didn't even allow yourself to dream about. God is going to open some avenues for you in Jesus' name. I declare it and believe it in Jesus' name. Anybody else want that word? Say, I'll take it. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to reach out and say, Lord, I receive that for myself as well. Hallelujah. But sometimes we lock ourselves in, and we keep ourselves from believing for something bigger, something greater, something more powerful in our life. And God said, wise men will give me what they treasure. And when you submit, how many know when you give to God, you don't lose anything? Because God brings back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, sometimes we got to give to God and say, God, I can't wait to see what seed you cause to come back in this 30, 60, 100 fold, whatever it is. I mean, one seed has the ability to bring forth many seeds. But if you hold that seed, it'll never do anything. The most powerful thing, see, they tried to kill Jesus, but what they didn't realize, he was seed. He said, if a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it'll by it alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. You can't bury him because he's seed. They tried to bury you, but you're seed. You thought you were going down, but you're seed. You thought you were out of play, but you're seed. And God wants to bring blessing and multiplication into your life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But wise men present what they treasure. Sometimes what we treasure are our dreams and our aspirations and our vision. God, how can this thing be? I mean, when the angel came to speak to Mary and Joseph, and he began to speak of what he's getting ready to do, and it sounds like crazy stuff. How many are ready for God to speak crazy stuff to you? 6-8 of you? All right. I mean, no, it's out of those crazy things sometimes that God begins to abound. And her response to it was, Lord, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? He said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And what's going to be done in you is going to be done supernaturally through the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to do some big things in and among us. But how many know we've got to have vision for it? We've got to have aspirations. We've got to say, God, I am not going to look at where I am right now. I'm going to stop counting everything that's bad in my life. I'm going to start magnifying everything that's good in my life, everything that's right in my life, everything that's in line in my life. And I'm going to trust God to put an anointing on that and to bring forth his purpose in our life. Amen. Sometimes we come to a place and we think, well, that's the end of that. Only to find out it's just the beginning of something bigger and better of what God wants to do. When I was thinking about stories in the scripture of people who give what they treasured, I'm not going to be able to cover them all this morning, but how many, Mary and Joseph, the first thing that they did after the child Jesus was born was bring him back into the temple and give him back to the Lord. They brought him back for his time of circumcision and then when Mary brought him back, when the days of her purification, she brought him back with an offering, 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, the offering of a poor man. They brought him to the temple, they offered him to the Lord, and what they found out was there was an older generation of prophets and prophetess there were waiting to embrace that baby. And Simeon looked up and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the promise that you promised me. How many know sometimes, and I'm going to talk this to some of our older generation in here, sometimes you said and think, Lord, I'm not going to see it come to pass. But Simeon lifted up his eyes and he said, Lord, now let your servants depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the promise that you have promised me, and I have held in my arms and embraced the salvation and the miracles of what you promised. I now have held it in my arms. And about that time, Anna comes in and embraces it. Anna's name means grace. When grace embraces and when the young and the old come together. How many know Simeon and Anna are a picture sometimes of the old coming together with the young, the new and the old covenant, the new covenant, God bringing together every promise, every chapter, every book. See, I don't stand here today by myself. I stand on the shoulders of parents and grandparents and people that went before me that prayed a prayer that one day this would happen and yet did not get to stand here and see it in the flesh, but I believe rejoice from the portals of heaven and say, I'm a part of that. I don't know about you, but one day I want to stand in the portals of heaven of what God is doing even greater in the next generations and say, I'm a part of that. I sowed seed into that. I spoke a word into that. Because I believe the promises of God are to our generations and to our seed. How many in here need God to do something in your house and in your children and in your generations yet to come, or believe in God to do? What I want you to do today before you leave this house is say, Lord, I present to you what I treasure. I give to you what I treasure today, Lord. The thing that's most valuable in my life, because that's what wise men do. That's what wise women do. They present what they treasure. How many know when Hannah cried unto the Lord and God gave Hannah a baby, she said, I'm going to keep the baby until I can wean the baby, but when it's my time, I'm going to give back to the Lord what he gave to me. I mean, the greatest thing you can do is give back to the Lord what he gave to you, because really they don't belong to me, they belong to him. Hallelujah. And so we pray a promise over our children. And what I love about the story is the purpose of Samuel was more powerful than even the leadership that she handed him off to. Amen. The purpose in Samuel was more powerful than even Eli and the priesthood of the house of that day. But aren't you thankful that God are giving ears to our children, that when he begins to speak, he can speak to them as well as speaking to us? You know, sometimes we just need to look at them and say, I don't know, baby, what's God saying to you? I don't know, what's the Lord saying to you? What's God speaking to you? Because a lot of times we want to put our purpose or our will into their life, when really what we need to say is, I don't know, Samuel, go back to bed, and when the Lord speaks, say, hear my Lord. Hallelujah. There was a story about Abigail. If you remember the story about Abigail, when she was married to a man named Nabal. And Nabal's name means fool, foolishness, folly. How many know wisdom and folly don't go together very well? She was in covenant with foolishness. She was married to Nabal. And I'm not talking about this in the natural, so don't call your spouse this when you get home. But how many know she was in covenant with some things that was bringing foolishness into her house and folly and danger? Because when King David come back to her house, come back to Nabal and said, look, we have protected your sheep in the field, but now we need provisions. Nabal said, who are you? You're a renegade. You're out running with a band of hoodlums. And he said, I'm not going to take care of your men. And they go back and tell David that. And David said, saddle up the horses. Because he said, I'm going to go into the house of Nabal and we're going to wipe them out. But Abigail gets word of it. And she says, oh no, not on my day and not on my watch. And she said, saddle up my horses, get provision, get the bullocks, get the food, get all of that. We're going to see the king. And when she goes to the king, she said, I'm sorry about the folly that you had been heard from before. But she said, here is the provision, my king, and God's called you to great things. Don't destroy my household and let this go against your character, is basically what she's saying. And how many know David saves her family alive because Abigail stood up and said, oh no, not my house, not my day, and not on my watch. How many know there's sometimes, as men or women, that you got to disconnect yourself from foolishness and the things that have kept foolishness going on in your house and that has brought danger to your house, and say, you know what? We're going to stand up today. Not today, not on my watch, not my kids, not my babies. Because I'm going to present everything that I have. I'm going to see the king. Hallelujah. My mom was an Abigail in our family. She stood up and said, you know what? Things have got to change. The foolishness has got to stop in our house. And because of that, God saved her, saved my dad, saved my brothers and sisters, my siblings. And we stood there in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and they prayed over us and said that God had called us to the kingdom and to the service of the kingdom. How many know you can make a decision? And everybody around you may not go with that decision, but you can stand firm in what you believe and said, you know what, today I'm taking a stand. Today I'm going to declare the goodness of God over my house, over my family, over my generations, over my future story is yet to be written. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Because wise men present what they treasure. Hallelujah. When the man brought his son to Jesus, who was tormented with an evil spirit, and the disciples tried to cast the spirit out of him and they couldn't do it, they brought him to Jesus, and he said, Father, he's tormented, he needs to be delivered. And he said, he can be healed if only you'll believe. Do you remember the story? And the man said, Father, I believe, just help now my unbelief. More than anything, I believe that you can bring healing, that you can restore, that you can deliver from torment, that you can touch them. Hallelujah. And that you can make them whole. And how many know Jesus restores that young man? But how many first father had to bring him there and say, Lord, I give you what I treasure. We present to him what we treasure. I mean, all of those gifts that were brought to Jesus had significance and they had value and all of that kind of stuff. But what I want to tell you this morning is wise men present what they treasure. And the next time that you fret over, when you go to leave here today and you fret over what's to come next and what you're facing next, how many know wise men present what they treasure to the Lord? How many know you got to trust Him to take care of what you present to Him? Lord, I trust you with the treasures of my heart. I trust you with those things that I treasure. I trust you with the next step of my journey. I trust you that the door you have closed is only an opening to a bigger door and better things in my life, and that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. For you this morning, it might be your health that you treasure. It might be relationships, it might be family, it might be a spouse, it might be a child, it might be a parent, a sibling, it might be financial issues you're facing. Whatever it is, Lord, I give to you what I treasure, and I trust you with it. I trust you to have your will and your way in my life. Stand with me this morning as Beth comes to sing. Wise men are dreamers. Said they were warned of God in a dream and they went another way. I mean, no, wise men know that sometimes it's profitable to go a different direction than what you've been going. Wise men take their cue from the heaven. Wise men don't heed earthly kings. Wise men are givers. Wise men are worshipers. Do we have any wise men in the house today? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've not made that step or that commitment, today's your day. We'd love to pray with you. Our altar's open. It's as simply as saying, Lord, I present to you my life, my heart, and all that I am. And He receives you. He works in you. He lives in you from the inside out. Whatever it is on your heart today, I just want you to lift your hands as Beth is singing and just present to Him your treasures. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.